Welcome to Generations with Kevin Swanson, looking at life through the eyes of a biblical worldview. He grapples with the issues of education, culture, and family. He doesn't have all the answers, but one thing is for sure. He is committed to preserving our faith and freedom for the next generation. And now, here's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director of Christian Home Educators. I'm a pastor, but the reason I'm mic-side with you today is I'm a father of five, Daniel, Emily, Rebecca, Joy, Bethany, and Abigail. And, you know, Dave, the reason we do this program is we're trying to figure out how to raise children in a culture that's just weirded out. Let me give you an example. This American Idol program, this is Fox's mega hit, comes to a close this week. And you realize 50 million people voted last week for the contenders of their choice. 50 million people voted for the contender. And if any of you out there don't know what American Idol is, I don't really know what it is because I have not watched it. I don't get Fox on my television. I don't even get CBS, NBC, or ABC. I don't get anything. I haven't gotten anything for months now. I haven't seen any television. I don't even know what's going on.
That explains why your worldview is so good.
I tell you what, I am a seriously messed up guy because I don't know what's going on television except this American Idol thing. A lot of our friends and family members have told us about it. They just can't miss it. It's just the greatest thing. They can hardly wait till the next episode. Ladies and gentlemen, 50 million people voted last week for the contenders of their choice. A local radio station in Denver is sending a crew to cover the final event of American Idol, and everybody just, the whole nation buzzing about American Idol. Unreal. 35% believe their votes for the contender of their choice is as important or more important than voting for the President of the United States, Dave. Yeah, the President of the United States, 35% of the people think that this is going to change society as we know it. This is critical. I mean, this is what it takes to change the direction of society for future generations, ladies and gentlemen. It's a matter of who wins the American Idol contest tonight.
Now, Kevin, I have never seen it either, but let me ask you a few questions, because I'm a little confused about this whole phenomenon. Will the winner of American Idol be able to declare war, appoint Supreme Court justices, approve budgets?
No. But they get really good at singing stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. They can hum a tune.
So what you're saying is there's a lot of idol Americans and a lot of idle-minded Americans.
Ladies and gentlemen, bread and games, you know when an empire is coming to an end, when it's all bread and games. That's the way it was at the end of the Roman Empire, Dave. I mean, the thing that really mattered was the games. They were down there, some of them took their lunches, they were down there from 5 a.m. till 11 p.m. at night. The Colosseums were busy all the way to the end. Ladies and gentlemen, when the hordes came down into Rome, people were still watching the games. And when the hordes were out there on the streets hacking away at people, they just thought it was, the games getting a little carried away. You know, it's reality television, dude. Hey, this is heavy duty. Whoa, man, did you see how he killed that guy in the street? Wow, reality television getting a little out of hand. That's what they thought at the end of Rome. It was all bread and games. They had no will to defend the empire from anything. It was just all bread and games. They lived for the bread and the games. Is that what we are today, Dave?
In a sense, I think we are. I think the whole embedded reporter in during a war was to make a television program so people could be entertained by the war. People don't like this war because it's not very entertaining right now.
It was an expensive program because we're still paying for it with our tax dollars. But ladies and gentlemen, people today, they have very little commitment to anything but, bread and games. They want to eat and they want to watch games. And that seems to be the way they live their lives. You know, it's funny, Dave, when people were out working Monday through Friday, there's one thing they talked about most of the week. Between Monday and Tuesday, they talked about the weekend prior. From Wednesday to Friday, they talked about the games they were going to play on the weekends. It was all about games. Their lives were about games.
They didn't talk about worship?
They didn't talk about worship. They really didn't want to talk about work either. But they had to because they had to still earn something in order to earn the bread and games. Folks, today we want to talk a little bit about something a little different. It's the future of this nation, the future of, our empire. But we want to talk about centralization and decentralization. Please understand that what has happened for the last, 100 years at least of our history, our government has been centralizing control of just about everything. The federal government spends 25% of the gross national income, and that's up from 5% back in the 1800s. We have seen centralization in just about every area of life. When I say centralization, I'm talking about the centralization of power. when government centralizes taxation or the economy in itself in some centralized location like Washington, D.C., when it centralizes 25% of the entire economy in Washington, D.C., guys, that's centralization. We have more centralized control of the economy with the establishment of the Fed under President Wilson in 1913. That centralized the control of our money system. Then we saw centralized control of business throughout the 20th century. You know, just in the 20th century, Dave, we've had thousands upon thousands upon thousands of bureaucracies built. In fact, I did a survey today on the web trying to find out how many federal bureaucracies there were. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of these things. The Bureau of Economic Analysis, the Bureau of Consular Affairs, the Bureau of Arms Control, the Bureau of African Affairs, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, the Bureau of Justice Statistics, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the Bureau of Naval Personnel, the Bureau of Nonproliferation, the Bureau of Nonproliferation of Bureaucracies. No, that one's not there. But the Bureau of Nonproliferation evidently is. The Bureau of South Asian Affairs, the Center for Faith-Based Initiatives. Oh, that just came out. That's a new one. Center for Folk Life and Cultural Heritage, the Department of Agriculture, the Division of Bird Habitat Conservation, the Division of Contracting and Facilities Management, the Division of Migratory Bird Management. I'm just going through the C's and D's here.
I'm just surprised. I didn't know that migratory birds could form a bureau.
They have a bureau. Yeah, Dave, you know you're centralizing control of business, all of business, all of life, when you're centralizing control of birds.
It just floors me. What did the birds do before there was bird management? Did they not know where to migrate? Did they all go to the same place? Did they not have hotel reservations? What did they do?
Well, most certainly government didn't have control of it, and somebody got a little concerned about that, and they went ahead and centralized control of migratory birds with their own bureaucracy. Incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, throughout the 20th century, we have seen tremendous centralization. Centralization of the economy, centralization of business, centralization of business. Now there is one bureaucrat for every person who actually produces something in America. For everybody who actually produces something, we're talking about people who produce clocks, cars, you know, stuff. If you actually do something, there's a bureaucrat for every single manufacturing employee in America. There is one bureaucrat for every guy who actually does something.
Kevin, how can an economy exist? Well, there's only one producer for one person who's sucking up the spoils of that production.
And I've always wondered who my bureaucrat is, you know? I mean, don't you want him kind of following you around and maybe getting him something to do? Could you get me a cup of coffee or something, you know? Make yourself useful.
Shine my shoes, my car needs washing, pick up the dry cleaning, that kind of thing.
We have centralized control of education, folks, and that came under President Nixon in 1973. Now, national testing was established by George W. Bush 4 years ago for all of the schools and all of the children in every neck of the woods throughout America. There is control. There is control in Washington, D.C. And, Dave, this is just indicative of what man has been doing from the very beginning. Man centralizes power. He's been doing this since Cain built his first city, since the Tower of Babel. Remember the Tower of Babel? Go to, let us build a city and a tower, and we will make a name for ourselves. Man has wanted to centralize power. In fact, this American Idol thing is just another example of how people like to congregate around famous people. They seem to find some delight out of making somebody the most powerful, the most famous, and the richest person in the world. People like to centralize power. They've been doing this from the beginning. Empires like Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Greece, and Rome were products of this centralizing tendency, this idea that we want to centralize power. And then, of course, during the Middle Ages, or what some people call the Dark Ages, was a period of decentralization, but a time where there was tremendous growth of the Christian faith. But then right after that, you have modern empires start up in the 1500s, empires like Spain, and then again, eventually France came along, and then England, and then America. Modern empires, again. Again, the effort is to centralize power, and we've been doing this since day one, since the fall of man in the garden. But every time, Dave, we centralize, every time we begin to centralize power, our empires fall. They always fall on their own weight. Just like that little boy that builds his towers out of little blocks, he builds and builds and builds until what happens, Dave? Until it falls down, yeah. Boys love to do that, and men have done the same thing. We build the empires. We build our towers so high that they eventually fall down. It's funny. Gravity takes over, and those empires come down. Folks, I want to talk about the coming fall of the modern empires. I want to talk about the future on this program today. Decentralization is on its way. That's next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson.
Worldview Radio at its best. This is Generations. It's Generations, and here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Folks, this is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations, and today we're talking about the differences between centralization and decentralization. Sure, over the last 200 to 300 years, we have seen a steady progress of centralization. We have centralized tremendous power over business, over education, over basically every area of life here in the United States of America. But we are beginning to see decentralization. We are seeing cracks in the centralized, powerful empires of the modern world. And let me give you a couple examples of this, Dave. I mean, one obvious example is what we're doing right now. Already we're seeing communication and media tremendously decentralized. And I think it was inevitable. The internet did a lot of that.
Yeah, no longer does ABC, NBC, and CBS are the centers for news. I mean, they really aren't. They're irrelevant. Really, the internet has taken over.
Oh, Fox took a lot of it. But it's more than that. Others have been stealing that. The internet, I get most of my news from the internet. I'd say 90% of what I get now is from the internet through email, through e-alerts that various organizations send to me, and also through web surfing. I just love to surf. I want to find out what's going on. I surf on certain topics. Folks, media is tremendously decentralized. This webcast that we're broadcasting right now hits 40 countries, and we are broadcasting from my basement. This is not from high atop the towers of the EIB network or any other network. This is from my basement. We're hitting some 40 nations. I post electronic files on the web each day, providing access to radio stations, individual homes all over the world. And while the major newspapers are losing subscriptions at a rate of 5 to 10% every 6 months, smaller centers of community and information sharing are rising up everywhere. Take my blog, for example. Right now, my blog is increasing readership at a rate of 200% every 2 months. And you can see my blog, and everybody needs to see my blog because I'm centralizing it. Everybody needs to see my blog at kevinswanson.com. But, Dave, there are fewer and fewer people reading the Denver Post and San Francisco Chronicle. There's more and more people listening to a newscast like this and looking at blogs.
In the technology field, they've understood for many years that a centralized system is a system that's prone to a single point of failure. If your mainframe controls all your information and that mainframe goes down, becomes corrupted, gets a virus, whatever, your organization may cease. And there's been a move to decentralization because they know the infrastructure will be much stronger.
Yeah, where there was once a government provider, a monopoly of communication, let's say the U.S. Post Office. Today, we got internet providers all over, and they work out of their basements. Ladies and gentlemen, the decentralization of control of communication and media is happening everywhere. And Dave, think about coffee and beer. Just an example. One time, tremendous control of coffee and beer. You think of Maxwell House, or you think of Coors and Budweiser. Today you got microbreweries all over the place, and there are people that are actually creating their own flavors in coffee. They do it in their basement.
Okay, I'm thinking about the coffee and the beer, and then there's still nothing in my cup, Kevin.
Yeah, I understand. But the fact of the matter is, there is variety that these mass production houses could not provide, and this is in itself drives some decentralization. There's also a decentralization occurring in education. We bring this up again and again. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the product of who we are in this program. We are massively decentralized education. We are homeschooling on this program because we bring up the issue of homeschooling again and again. Dave homeschools his kids. I homeschool mine. And this is happening throughout America. Originally, the movement began about 1980 when Focus on the Family brought a series of broadcasts on this issue of home education. The fact of the matter is you didn't need to send your children out to some people farm where they were herded through classrooms at the rate of 3,000 people per school at a time. You don't need to do that. You just go home and you study stuff at home in your basement, in your kitchens and living rooms, and that's what we do here. Dave, this massively decentralized movement, it's called the homeschooling movement. Now there's 2 million of them homeschooling. The changes in education is tremendous. Ladies and gentlemen, the free market has exploded in the area of education. There are so many choices today that no longer will the federal government have such massive control, such massive centralized control, establishing standards, establishing testing, at least if we can win this battle. Dave, I'm not sure the battle's over yet.
Oh, the battle's not over. The public school kids are doing worse and worse on their testing, and the homeschool kids are doing better and better. So at some point, the teachers union is going to say, let's not make those homeschoolers take the test. It's really embarrassing.
Yeah. Decentralization happening everywhere. Media and information being decentralized. You've got the decentralization of education. Also, the decentralization of energy is on its way. I'm not sure if this guy's got it, but there's this guy named Denny Klein who apparently has worked on his hydrogen technology, where he has isolated the hydrogen atom from the water molecule, and he's able to create a gas, the hydrogen gas, out of the water molecule with less energy than it takes to burn that hydrogen gas. And he has apparently used it on a vehicle. Right now it's just a hybrid. He uses both gas and water. So he burns water. He turns water into hydrogen gas and burns that. He uses this HHO technology, and he runs it on the alternator and has improved his gas mileage on his test cars by 25 to 50%. So evidently there may be something here. Automobiles running on water. Goodbye, large centralized electric companies. Goodbye, high wires. Goodbye, oil companies. Goodbye, high centralized. Goodbye, huge centralized utilities. Goodbye, OPEC. Wouldn't that be nice to say goodbye to OPEC? You know, you can picture homes, Dave, that can sustain themselves in the most remote areas of the Arctic, complete with heated indoor swimming pools using nothing but water for fuel. Ladies and gentlemen, decentralized energy sources, decentralized education. Question is whether we'll see decentralized government. But Dave, I think the centralizing power of the nuclear age will force itself to decentralize. Because once the nuclear option is used in nuclear warfare, you're going to see decentralization of the cities and even the modern nation states. These things are on its way. Ladies and gentlemen, decentralization. Can you imagine the large centralized governments gone? Can you picture a world with technology, communication, trade, and transportation, but decentralized? Dave, I want to contrast these worlds for a moment. You got decentralization and centralization. You know why men centralize power?
Because they like a lot of power.
Yeah, they want to be God. They want to be God, but it never works out very well. It works out terribly. In fact, the more centralized you are, the more dangerous it is. Now, here's why I think men want to centralize power. First, you got to assume that evil power exists. Now, some deny that evil power exists. They think that there is no evil in the world. But I've looked around, Dave, and I've found evil. There is evil. The devil exists, and evil exists in the world. Now, evil power has always wanted centralization. Our forefathers knew this. Power corrupts, they said. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. All right? So, that's why evil power wants centralization, because it's the only way that evil power can control vast numbers of people. If you can centralize power over education in Washington, D.C., then those evil powers can stay in one place and control what's going on for their evil agenda. But if you decentralize the power, if you decentralize power over education, develop millions and millions of homeschools across the nation, there is no way that evil influences can run around and control everything. Evil power has always wanted centralization. It's always wanted it. Centralization is based upon the concept of power and control. But decentralization is based on relationships. Now, some people have said that anarchy will happen if we decentralize communication. In fact, some are concerned about anarchy developing in this area of the internet and media, because you've got everybody doing their own thing. So they're afraid we're going into the area of anarchy. But decentralization is based on relationships. It's based on cooperation, which is a matter of relationship and not power. So what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about decentralizing control over business and everything. We're talking about contracting labor between each other. So instead of huge corporations with huge hierarchy bossing around tens of thousands of people at a time, we're talking about not that hierarchy, a real bottom-up form of business and power. We're talking about no more employee-employer relations. We're talking about getting rid of trade unions. We're talking about customer-client relationships instead of employee-employer relationships. See, Dave, there is a difference between the power-oriented corporate life, where you've got a huge hierarchy of seven layers above you, everybody telling everybody else what to do, and more of a bottom-up approach where it's not employee-employer relationship, it's where someone is sort of a slave for somebody else. It's more of a respectful relationship of customer and client that is based upon contract instead of employer-employee relationship. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a decentralized form of power, and it will limit the power of evil over vast numbers of people. Now, there's a couple of ways that we can begin to talk about decentralization. Let me go over these very, very briefly. We only have a couple minutes left on this program. Folks, the first thing you can do is educate your children. Educate your children, and take control of that. Educate them at home if necessary, but don't throw them into huge human farms where 3,000 children are processed through. Don't do that. That's centralized education. Decentralize education right away. Get ahead of the decentralizing trend or approach we're taking in the modern age and educate your children at home. Get them used to a relationship-based approach to education, a decentralized approach to education. Secondly, you can start your own business. That may not be possible for everybody, but it's certainly a consideration. Consider starting your own business. And we should also develop our ministries and businesses without a lot of hierarchy. So as you get more and more successful, work in contracts. Now, you can certainly apprentice others. I think it's appropriate to apprentice others. But men should be trained to be free, to take responsibility for their area of responsibility. Therefore, do not hire people. Contract with them. That's the way of decentralization and freedom. And finally, the final point, folks, in decentralization, these are practical tips whereby you can live in a way of decentralization. And here it is. Don't go to a megachurch. Dave, I think the megachurch is a modern approach to decentralize. We've certainly seen the trend over the last 10 to 15 years towards megachurching, and that's going the wrong direction. We really, as Christians, we ought to be going the way of decentralization. We should develop close relationships in small churches and develop those relationships over a long period of time. Study biblical peacemaking, because certainly in relationships you're going to have to learn to make peace with others. And we should also build our denominations locally and by means of relationships. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a whole new way of looking at life. It's decentralized. Let's decentralize our education. Let's decentralize our business. Let's decentralize the way that we do government. And my guess, this is the way the modern world is going to go, and this is the way that Christians will be relevant in future generations. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Generations with me, Kevin Swanson, and one of the books that can help you get started in this area of decentralizing control over education and maximizing on the principle of relationships and individuality is by homeschooling your children. I wrote a book that presents this approach. Get my book Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child by calling 877-842-CHECK. That's 877-842-CHECK for your copy. You can interact with the program by emailing me, kevin@kevinswanson.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, right there at kevinswanson.com. Folks, this is Kevin Swanson, and I'd like to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.